Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, hello and welcome to
Sunday Night Live.
Sunday Night Live. Brother Harold and Miss Bev are out on assignment. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little while since we've seen you guys. We're excited to be back. I'm Clay Worrell. This is my beautiful wife, Felicia. We're just glad to see you. We're going to talk tonight about, well, of course, the Word of God, but we're going to have some fun in it. I don't know if you guys remember last time we got together, but we like to have fun in the Word. Well, because we have the victory. I mean, from cover to cover, we have the victory. But, of course, we were sent the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Jesus decided to dwell among us for a little while. And, you know, he had some fun while he was here. And we're going to talk to you tonight. Just roll back the hands of time a little bit, but take a look at your own life. In other words, as you reflect on this teaching tonight, it should be up on the website within the next 24 hours as far as outlined. But take a look at the scriptures themselves, how mm-hmm. they apply to you, and as Brother Harold and Miss Bev teach, personalize those scriptures, because beyond a shadow of a doubt, those scriptures are designed for you. In a personalized Bible, you would find your name over 7,000 times where God is talking. I mean, he's talking to you because you've mm-hmm. got the victory in Christ. Do you remember? Now, this has taken us back a year or two. And look, Felicia and I were high school sweethearts. Look at that right there. We're still, but we were, look, I'm blushing. We were kind of high school sweethearts. And we used to have pep rallies. Do you remember those pep rallies?
Oh, yes.
We'd have the pep rallies, and they'd line us up. And you'd have the sophomores and the juniors and the seniors, and then they'd get out there and do their chant. Do you remember that? They go, sophomores, don't be shy. Let me hear your battle cry. And then you go,
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
You know, tonight, the purpose of this is, we want you to have some foundation, some additional foundation. We want to really knock down some strongholds that may be there. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong thinking patterns. But we really want to help you with the foundation that Brother Harold and Miss Bev are building for finishing the year 2019 strong. But I'll tell you, to finish and to go and get started really strongly in 2020, mm-hmm. I'm in a good, strong start. It's going to take a strong and solid foundation. So we're going to cover some foundational things tonight, give you some insights into the scripture, and have a good time. Paul references the believer in mm-hmm. Christ Jesus in the New Testament. I hear some people saying these things. So here's one stronghold we're just going to throw right out and put it right in the trash can. You know, I hear people say, well, I'm a sinner to save by grace. I'm a sinner. No, you're a saint. You're a saint that may sin, but you have been declared redeemed, sanctified, justified, mm-hmm. the righteousness, holy in Christ Jesus. Saints is referenced to the believers right at 40 times in the New Testament, Paul writes. So that's pretty exciting.
So question is, physically speaking, in respect to size, in respect to mass and power, what is the greatest force that you've ever seen, maybe in nature? Because there's different physical ailments. So we've got mountains, we've got volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes here on the East Coast. We have hurricanes each summer. Mm-hmm. The sun, the black hole, or even man-made. Let's look at the military, bombs, mm-hmm. ships. They are massive in size. But the answer, the true correct answer, especially in spiritual life, is actually the mirror, and it's you in Christ.
Well, let's take a look at what the scripture said. That's the point Jesus was trying to make. You know, as I study the scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to teach me and reveal the scripture, Jesus was trying to tell us something, and there's no words a lot of times to actually express exactly what it is that they're trying to get across, God's trying to get across. For example, Ephesians 3:20, God can do super abundantly by the power that worketh within us, far above our prayers, dreams, desires, hopes. What he's trying to say is it's that big. It's the same thing Jesus was talking about in Matthew 17 and 20.
Mm-hmm. Says he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you that if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, whatever situation you're looking at, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing is going to be impossible to you.
And I believe over in Luke, it's about the same type of scripture, around 10, maybe 10 and what, 17 or 17 and 10, mm-hmm. if I got that in reverse. Talks about just pull up a tree. I mean, you just speak to it. Just speak to the tree. Just throw the thing in the ocean. What is Jesus trying to say? What is the Word trying to say? I mean, what's he trying to say? Well, he's trying to communicate to you and I that we, in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. have every single bit. Luke 10:19 spells it out like this, and I'll paraphrase it. We have all the authority over all the power of the enemy. So how much has he got, honey?
All.
How much have we got?
All.
We've got it all. So how much has he got?
All.
He's got none.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Honey, my baby.
Got me on a roll.
My baby. I know it. Listen, bottom line is we have all the authority over all the power of the enemy.
That's right.
He has none. And when Jesus was talking about throwing a mountain into the ocean, he's being just as serious as he can be with the mustard seed. He could have said, you know what I'm going to need? I'm going to need a cannonball. I'm going to need a watermelon. I'm going to need an oak tree. You know, bring me an oak tree of faith, and then you can move this mountain.
And a mustard seed is literally like this big. It's not big at all. So what we have to realize, key, is that any force is mm-hmm. the force in which it's directed and which way it's going to go.
Well, you know, air isn't powerful until it's under pressure.
Water isn't powerful.
Or until it's blowing strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, water's not powerful, is it?
Not by itself.
Until it's under pressure, then water can cut through steel. Light's not that powerful. I mean, we've got lights all around us, but when light is concentrated, turned into a laser,
it can cause a fire.
And it's the same exact now faith. Mm-hmm. Now faith. God is talking about the faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in 10:17 Romans. Mm-hmm. He's saying it's only going to take a mustard seed. And if you look at Romans 12:3, and I'm going to paraphrase, all men, hallelujah, all of us have been given a measure. So you've already got the measure. You've already got the measure.
You just
the revelation
believe.
Is, amen.
You got to believe. You got to receive it. All right, we are in a battle on this side of eternity with words, mm-hmm. our thoughts, because they then become actions, and the devil operates in the shadows of our mind if it's not yielded to the word, according to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not with the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 2 Timothy 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Knowing our purpose and being focused is our key as Christians.
Well, and it's our spirit, our responsibility.
That's right.
You know, so many scriptures put it right back on us, the believer. God responds to us when we pursue God.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the pursuit of God that we see His power.
He wants and desires that personal relationship with us. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He has given us everything that we need, but it's up to us to have the hunger to go after Him, to know Him more intimately, and to experience Him with full joy, full love in our hearts, and to share it with other people.
As Brother Harold and Miss Bev say, 7 powerful words, read your Bible, doing
what it says,
as Miss Bev says. You know, there's oftentimes in my own life when I'm reading, studying the Bible, I feel like I'm not getting anything. I mean, I feel like, I'm just not getting anything. Mm-hmm. I always pray. Before I pick this beautiful holy canon up, I pray. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me this word.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me this word, because He is the teacher. He's the counselor. He's a spirit of truth that'll lead you into all truth. But more often I find he'll bring back to my remembrance, right, as he's promised to, yep, do, the exact scripture I need at the exact time in my life. And it's by the power of the Word of God, the living Word of God. Devil's got to go. He's got to go. Look, he's got to go.
So the three keys, mm-hmm, when reading the Word of God is to know three core things. Number one, God cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers 23:19. God cannot be a respecter of person, coming from Acts 10:34. And God's Word cannot come back void, Isaiah 55:11.
Keep those three, put those three keys, remember those three keys. You have to remember those three keys. You've got to remember those three keys when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to seeing Jesus, when he said, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That might in there, I'll say these three scriptures kind of keep my faith built, because I know he can't lie, can't be a respecter of person. His Word can't come back void. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through, you want to go through 21, or what are you thinking,
yeah,
Lady?
Yeah, 21 World? Is the...
Let's go right to 21.
So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, mm-hmm, that is grafted, joined in by him as Savior, he is a new creature, mm-hmm, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. We are new creatures. Mm-hmm. But all things are from God, who reconciled us unto himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, that it is God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them out.
So God did all this.
And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, mm-hmm, that is restoration to favor with God. Verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making his appeal through us. We, as Christ's representative, plead with you on the behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. And in verse 21,
that's right,
he made Christ, who knew no sin, to be on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God, that is, and would be made acceptable to him and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious and loving kindness.
Now, we brought that scripture to you out of the Amplified Classic.
Mm-hmm.
I love that translation. That's a teaching translation, but it also reveals to us just, I mean, especially with 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, just really just puts it in black and white. It lays it right down what God, mm-hmm, has done in Christ Jesus, what happens when we accept Christ Jesus in our heart. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Ephesians 2:5-8 in the NIV.
Verse 5, made us alive with Christ, mm-hmm, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus.
So that's already been done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And in verse 8, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. It was his own son.
And a key in this scripture is this. Our minds want to automatically say we are going to be seated, because we, as a human, mm-hmm, on the natural side, we do everything by what we can see, taste, touch, and smell, right?
Right.
If we can't see it, taste it, touch it, right, or smell it, our senses can't pick up on it. But where we're at seated today, as far as our position, mm-hmm, and where we are, the covenant is so much better in the New Testament than the Old, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly realms, and we have the ability not to pray up, but to actually loosen and pray down. Mm-hmm. We're actually releasing the blessings. I'm getting excited. I might want to like Brother Harold says, get up and run around a place a little bit. Let's go ahead and go Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Scroll right down.
Verse 7.
Let's go to verse 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 10 in your Message translation. We're going to pick up with verse 7. The entire scripture will be there on your outline there on the website.
In verse 7 it says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Free of penalties, punishments, chalked up by our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, but abundantly free. Mm. Now, that doesn't give us the ticket to go out and still do whatever we want to.
But we're abundantly
free. That's right.
All right.
He thought of everything, provided of everything that we could possibly need, letting us in the plans he took such delight in making just for us. He set it all out there in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, and everything in the deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth.
The reason that scripture, hear clearly what that scripture's saying, that he planned for you and for I a long time ago. In other words, God had a plan. God has a plan. Mm-hmm. You being here is not just by happenstance. You're very intentionally put here. Question is, do you know why? And when we look at our fingerprint, when we look at our DNA, about 100 billion humans, about 100 billion humans have lived on this planet since recorded man's history. About 7.6 billion are on the planet today, but there's never been another you. You know, God could have made it in such a way where there had been, a bunch of you. A bunch of me's running around, right? It'd been very easy where there had been a couple of thousand of me running around all at one time. And then I would have said, well, you know, there's really nothing unique about me. I just am who I am, and there's thousands or hundreds or millions of me. But there's no other Felicia. Mm-hmm. Never has been another Felicia. Never will there be another Felicia. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Ephesians 2 and 10, we're going to go right back to that scripture in the NLT because he just really, I love the NLT translation here. Yeah. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
That's right. And a word of wisdom and warning, James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Put your name in there.
There you go.
But when you ask, you must believe, there's the key word, and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do.
When you look at those scriptures, when you look at those scriptures, I'd like for you to think about one thing, because nobody likes to see it in the Bible, a double-minded man. To stay out of that realm of being double-minded, and I do see it from time to time in the church house, you know, we the body, the people gathering, and it's this. They have more of their idle time being preoccupied with things of the world. They're listening to music that is all about defeat and the world. They're watching things on TV that are all about the world and defeat and darkness. It's impossible. It's impossible for this battery.
That's right.
It's impossible for this battery to stay charged or this spirit to stay charged, only giving it 1 hour a week charge compared to another 168 hours in a week. It needs more than 1 hour. So as Brother Harold and Miss Bev teach, in the morning, set aside that time. Your quiet time with the Lord in the morning will take out a whole lot of that double-mindedness, that unsurety, that, well, you know, and that back and forth. When you dedicate a little time in the morning and then become aware, roll that welcome mat up, roll that welcome mat up as far as with defeat, because you're not going to back up, back down, give up, or give in, as Brother Harold would say. Nope, not today, devil. We're going to send him right back to CVS to get another case of Prozac. Let's do it. You ready to go to Job?
And even ending your day on a positive note.
Exactly.
Instead of watching the news right before you go to bed, because that your subconscious mind never goes to sleep. So same thing, programming your mind, reading your nightly devotions, pray together as a couple, or listening to some praise meditation music like right before you go to bed. It always helps calm your spirit.
Your first 5 to 10 minutes waking.
Mm-hmm.
Crucial.
Crucial.
I mean, sets the tempo. And people say, well, that's awfully fast, Clay. Look, that's how it works. I mean, how fast? Think about it. How fast is it you start thinking from the time you wake up? For me, I mean, look, I'm moving. I'm getting close to that 5-0, you know what I mean? And as I get closer to the 5-0, I find it takes me a minute or two longer. But within a couple of 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, I'm thinking thoughts. I'm thinking about my day. I'm thinking about family, thinking about things I need to do. The 7 keys or the 7 things to do before you go to bed, I believe you can find it on Brother Harold's website when you key it in up there. Starting out from picking up before you go to bed.
Laying your clothes out, making your to-do list.
Making your to-do list, going over it, making amends to anyone. Writing those things down when you can't do anything about it. Write it down and pray about it. And then, most importantly, lay out what you're going to dress your mind with the next morning. Have your CDs laid out. Have your iPod programmed. In other words, I intentionally go at every single day on this side of eternity. And you know what? I hadn't had a bad day in years. All I have is gigantic days, and I'm going to keep having them in Jesus' name. Why? Because I have all the authority over all the power of the enemy. I can't help but to have a good day.
So there are several scriptures that are key. Let's look at Job 36, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do not listen, they perish by the sword and die without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the lack of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 5:23, he dies for lack of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his great folly, he is led astray. And Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
But that's not us, because we're getting the knowledge right now. That's right. We ain't got time for that. So, we ain't got time for that, do we, honey?
No, so we've got to be locked in on the Word. So Jesus and you at the gym.
That's it. And you know the way to end double-mindedness, especially the way to end, as Hosea would say, my people perish for lack of knowledge, is stop being conformed in Romans 12:2, and I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Stop being conformed to this mess. Now, I'm telling you, stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the pure and powerful Word of God, because the victory is in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's impossible for me to pick this beautiful holy canon up. It's impossible for me to pick it up and fear, confusion, doubt, or worry, it's impossible for it to stay. We have to remember another thing. When it comes to fear, we're only born with two. The fear of loud noises. Yes.
The fear of falling.
And the fear of falling. And we'll go to 2 Timothy one more time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love and of sound mind.
So the key is commitment and keeping your mind and your feelings and emotions are heart of the enemy of the divine destiny. Four signs we need to be in the Word. More we need to discuss. We need to discuss our warfare instead of the promise of victory. We discuss our doubts instead of our faith in God. Number three, if the Word were dominating our mind, it would dominate our mouths and actions. So what you're putting in is going to be coming out of the heart.
So some things to look at in the mirror would be those four kind of letting you know, hey, I might need to get into the Word a little more. If I'm discussing the warfare more than I'm talking about the victory, that's a sign that I need to get into the Word more.
That's right.
The second way is when I discuss my doubts. When I discuss my doubts instead of His promises. When I just, in other words, I audibly, and look, we're all guilty of it. Mm-hmm. We're all guilty of it. But these four keys will kind of let you know where you are. When I'm listening to someone that I may be canceling or whatever it might be, but when I'm listening to them, I know if they've been in the Word. I know if they've been in the Word recently. Mm-hmm. So, one, discussing warfare rather than the victory. Two, discussing the doubt instead of the victory or the promise. Three, if the Word is dominating the mind, it would dominate the actions as well.
That's right.
That's a good point, Sonny. Let's go ahead and turn to, I'm going to go to 1 John 5 and 5.
All right. Who it is that overcomes the world, but only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Hold on a minute. Now, what have we got to do to overcome the world?
Believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Did you say that I had to go out and build a bunch of high-rise buildings?
Nope.
you mean I don't need a oceanfront property?
Nope. It says believe.
I don't need a helicopter?
Nope.
I don't need a plane?
No.
Is there any work that I could do?
Nope.
I just need
to
what?
It's a gift.
Just believe.
Just believe.
It's that simple. The word salvation is so powerful. Let's take a look at what the word salvation means. And I think it's important, especially when we look back in James. Sometimes we really haven't got a revelation of what it actually means to receive the free gift of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The word salvation in the Greek language is soteria, which is 4991. It means to rescue, safety, deliver, health. The word saved in the Greek language is sozo, 4982, and it means to save, deliver, or protect, to be made whole, healthy, prosperity, and peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's good.
We serve a good God, don't we?
Yes, we do. And just remember in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
How many things can we do?
All.
That's everything, isn't it?
That is everything.
Is there anything we can't do?
No.
Nothing we can't do. In Christ Jesus, we can do all things. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm. Mark 9:23, Jesus saying, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Psalm 139:14 in the NIV, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full and well. Well, Lady World, it's been a beautiful evening.
It's gone by fast.
It's been a lot of fun being with you. You know, we love you. We love you. We love our TLC family. If this message has been a blessing to you, take your mouse, go to the top of the screen where it says sow a seed, and hey, just ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, whatever amount He lays on your heart to sow. Mm-hmm. That's all we ever ask here at TLC.
And tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30.
For Rich Thoughts
for Breakfast.
That's right. A phenomenal 12 to 13 minutes. I mean, it's powerful. If you haven't tuned in ever to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast,
it's good and powerful.
And look, when Brother Harold was talking about running down the street, get you so fired up. Look, one morning I listened to it. I was so fired up. I was going to go for a jog in about an hour, you know, after I listened. But I was so fired up, I said, let's go ahead and go start jogging right now. I got to go. Listen, we love you a bunch. God bless you.
Happy trails.
And we will see you soon. Good night.